Well, there was a joke about a man who had been rescued after many years of being stranded on a deserted island. And as he stood on the deck of the rescuing vessel, the captain says to him, "I thought you were stranded alone. How come I see three huts on the beach?" "Well," replied the castaway, "one of them is my house, and that one over there is the church I go to." "And the third one?" said the skipper. "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." How often we are much like the early church Paul is writing to the Romans about, where we allow our differences to divide and separate us, rather than joining us together and building the community that Jesus desires for us, so we can truly experience the unity and the support that the Christian fellowship is to give us in this hard and fallen world. I often wonder when we recite the Nicene Creed every week, as we will again after the sermon, do we really believe what we say? When we state that we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, I mean, do we truly live that out? Or really should we be saying something like this, that we believe in a holy Catholic and Apostolic Church that we attend, as long as it continues to hold to my view of how Christianity really should be lived out? I think especially in this horrible political climate that we have right now in the United States, where we are more likely to listen to only that which confirms the biases we already hold, I think the church, sadly, has succumbed in many places to that same confirmation bias. The idea that I will tolerate you and include you as long as you believe and act the way I do. Otherwise, you're just wrong and evil. Well, there's a great comic from a website called Adam 4D. And he has these two gentlemen kind of having this discussion. And the first one states that, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't really go to church because I just haven't found the perfect one yet." And his friend replies, he says, "Oh, well, you never will. Just find one that faithfully preaches the gospel and you get plugged in." Well, the first one goes on, "Well, but honestly, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that I really don't just agree with or think is good." And his friend says, "Well, thankfully, the creator of the universe is much wiser and much more loving than any of us." Well, and his friend goes on, well, that's the thing, though. I don't believe a loving God would do a lot of the things, quote, Christianity says that he does." And his friend responded, "Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God?" That's from Psalm 115, verse 3, and Romans chapter 9, verse 20. And the first one exclaimed, "Well, see, exactly. It's stuff like that I don't like. Because it totally seems to be saying that I'm not the center of the universe, which I clearly am, and that God does not organize everything around my individual perspective and preferences, which clearly he should." And his friend just sadly states, "I think we have maybe found the heart of the problem." So we might not have the same issues about eating and observance of days the same way the early church in Rome did. But how often do we think, well, if they don't use wine at communion, they must be wrong. While others must say, ooh, if they don't use grape juice at communion, they must be wrong. Or, we use the organ, so of course we're much more holy than anyone else. But if you use a drum, they think, well, if you're not using a drum or a guitar, then obviously you just don't know how to worship. Think about how we divide ourselves through our denominations. even sadly in the Episcopal Church itself, how different congregations will vilify another congregation because they're not thinking or worshiping or believing in the exact same way. How often do sadly even members within the congregation leave because somebody else believes something that they don't? Or they end up pushing someone else out because they don't really welcome them because they're different. We often tend to look down on others because maybe they're not conservative enough or they're not liberal enough, whether it be on immigration or the environment or gun control or you name it. How often do we judge someone because of how they have chosen to live out their Christian life? Maybe someone swears a bit. They can't be a Christian. Well, someone just uses this bizarre language that's too godly, so they must be just faking it. We like to categorize each other, don't we? To try to figure out who's in and who's out. To kind of boost our own selves and our own viewpoint, thinking that obviously must be the only way. We like to decide who really is saved and who isn't. Who is and isn't a true Christian. And Paul's response would be just the same to us as it was all those years ago. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. See, I think that's really kind of the verse that kind of catches me a little bit, because that's a little sobering. We often don't think about that. Each one of us will stand ultimately before God's judgment seat, and we will give an account for how we lived this life that we were given, how we treated one another, and ultimately how we treated Jesus in our lives. So as one commentator points out, the important thing for Paul is not what you eat or you don't eat. It isn't whether you keep a certain day as Sabbath. Rather, what is important is that each of us understand that Jesus Christ speaks for God, and therefore each of us ought to commit our life to God through Jesus Christ and promise to follow His way, which leads to results of a transformed life. So we need to remember the job of God has already been taken. We no longer need to apply for it. And believe me, I think He's doing a better job than any one of us would ever do. I think too often one side believes they are in the right, while the other side believes the same thing, that they are in the right. And I believe what Paul is trying to get through our thick skulls is that there's a third way, the way of faith. Faith in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Faith that He is the one who ultimately judges with perfect mercy and justice. Faith that the minor issues are just that, minor, not salvation issues. Faith that we can have unity as Christians, even in our differences. Because that's what makes the fabric of the Christian community so vibrant. I mean, how boring would it be if we were all the same? If we just all thought and believed exactly the same? It's the differences that challenge us to know how best to serve the Lord. See, remember, we need to remember that we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So are you the Lord's? That's what we need to look at. As I go through each day, am I serving the Lord through how I act, through what I say, through who I am? Therefore, we need to welcome and not despise. We need to welcome and not judge those who might hold different opinions. Let us, by our words and our example, rise above the partisanship that has so have a stranglehold on our society. May we leave behind our biases to live for Jesus in every aspect. And may we be fully committed to what we believe, even as we are accepting of those who might think differently. Imagine how we might, by our example within the church, change the tenor of violence and hatred within society. And by doing so, we might even draw others into a relationship with the Lord. So remember that we stand solely before our Lord. Are we His? We need to be living for Him. Amen.